This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
I love to distill a scripture, distill a concept down to 2, 3, 4 words. And I'll tell you why I do it. I do it for my sake as well as your sake. It helps me to remember. If I can take some concept from Scripture and boil it down to 2 or 3 words, that's good. That helps you to remember. Well, I'm going to do something very dangerous today. I'm going to bring the Bible down to 2 words. 2 words. I'm going to summarize the Bible with 2 words. And I think everything falls under one of these 2 words. I really do. I'm not being facetious or sarcastic at all. And here they are. The word law and the word gospel. The word law describes everything in the Bible that comes from the demands of a holy God. The Ten Commandments: thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. All the commandments like that. The Bible is about law. But thank God the Bible is about a God of deliverance through the gospel. Law, God's demands. Gospel, God's deliverance. And I really think if you remember those 2 things and somebody says, hey, what's this deal about the Bible? It's about the law. And then you talk about it for a minute and it's about the gospel, the good news that there's deliverance and it comes through Christ. G.K. Chesterton was an author who greatly influenced, as I understand it, C.S. Lewis. He was considered a modern writer of his day, a spiritual writer. And he said something that is so insightful, it applies to 2015 brilliantly. He said this: when people stop believing in God, and when people stop believing in God's word, it's not a case of where people start believing in nothing. It means people believe anything. Listen to that again. It's very insightful. When people stop believing in God and people stop believing in God's word, it's not a case of people believing in nothing. It's a case of people believing in anything. Ravi Zacharias from India said it last year at a gathering that I attended, that there is no certainty in our culture. There's no meaning. There's no truth. We live in a culture where there is no certainty about anything, and he's right, and people then open to believe in anything. Anything that comes down the political pipe, I like that. Anything that comes down the spiritual pipe, I like that idea. That's cool. I can plug into that. When people stop believing in God and they stop believing in God's word, they believe anything. What's it have to do with the message today? Simply this: Paul, in his last words to Timothy, before he's executed, speaking of a culture of death, before he loses his life, he writes these words about Timothy: make sure you correctly handle the word of truth, the Bible. Make sure as you teach people, realize this is the most important thing you do is to handle the word of God. It's in 2 Timothy 2, exactly where I left off last week. We're at verse 14. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Reference to the scripture. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, two guys with, again, two funny names, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: The Lord knows those who are his. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Well, yesterday we began a new message from 2 Timothy 2. This is a series called Final Words. They are the final words of the Apostle Paul before his execution in the city of Rome. He talks to Timothy this week about correctly handling the truth of God's word, and presupposes the idea that God's word is true. I hope you do believe it's true, as I do. We talk about that all this week on Cross Hope. God bless you as you listen. Some of you listen to Alistair Begg, who's a Scottish preacher who preaches in Cleveland. Been there for years. Just this week, I heard Alistair Begg say, if there was ever a time in our history where churches need to preach the Word of God systematically and just go through the Bible and teach it, he said, it's now. So we got a generation of young people who are biblically ignorant. We've got adults who are biblically ignorant. They couldn't quote a scripture if they tried. They couldn't remember a thought from the Word of God if they tried. Because that's where the power is. Doesn't it make sense that if the Bible is the Word of God and it's the inspired Word of God, that Satan would do everything he could in our culture through the media, through movies, through video games, through everything, to keep you from reading the Word of God? I believe that with all my heart. That's what Satan wants to do. If the Word of God has life on its own, which I believe, and it has power on its own, it's the inspired Word of God, it makes sense to me that Satan is going to do everything he can with your son or daughter to keep them from reading the Word. Satan's going to do everything he can to keep your husband from reading the Word of God, to keep your wife from reading the Word of God, to keep anybody in your family, because he knows. That's where the power is. Let's look at the first verse I read, verse 14. Keep reminding them of these things, Timothy. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It's no value. It only ruins those who listen. So much of ministry is reminding people of what they already know. Isn't that what parenting is? You're a parent, constantly reminding. You already know this, but here's what you need to do. I'm reminding you of this. Remember, there's a problem with this. If you see that person, you go out with him, there could be this problem. And we're constantly reminding people of what they already know, but that's what life is all about. Timothy, remind people that God loves them. Remind people of where forgiveness comes from. Remind people of where the hope is. Remind people of where truth is. It's in the Lord. The key verse is the one I want to spend most time on, is verse 15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. Paul was telling a young minister named Timothy, Timothy, you got something powerful in your hands. You got something significant and meaningful in your hands. It's called the Word of God. And Timothy, it's your responsibility to correctly handle the Word of truth. We live in a culture today, believe it or not, where churches express suspicion about the Bible. And I've heard ministers, I've heard them on the internet, sermon, I'm not sure if I believe this verse. You know, I'm not sure this was the intent of the passage. I'm not sure this. And we spend time discounting and even dismissing the Bible instead of holding it up and say, this is truth. We've got a nation of people who cast suspicion on the Word of God, and we need men and women who hold it up and say, this is truth. In a world that says there is no truth, there is no certainty, there is no meaning, it's the one place I know of in the world the church can say, here's truth. It's ultimately in a person, Jesus Christ, but it's ultimately also in his word. You see, the Bible's about law, but it's also about the gospel. Katie is from Chicago. I don't know her last name. She actually lived in a suburb of Chicago called Hoffman Estates. I remember when a new church, one of our churches, started in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, years ago. She wrote this in 2006. I'm 25, and 12 years ago, I happened to be diagnosed with systemic lupus erythematosus. We call it lupus. I've had many experiences medically I would rather have postponed to a riper age, and others, much of the population, will be grateful not to experience. I lead a rather unpredictable life. My plans for school, for jobs, for fun, often get interrupted by bouts with this disease that thinks it knows better what I should do with my time. Yet I continue to make plans. A good thing, I suppose, since I was born with a bit of a stubborn streak. I read all of that just to read this next paragraph. The promise I cling to when all else seems shaky with disease is that God is the same each day. No matter how much I change or screw things up, My belief that God is faithful and never changes is what gets me out of bed every morning and puts me to sleep every night. God defines who I am, and I strive each day to begin with a fresh canvas so the picture of God's faithfulness I have seen can be reflected through my life. Where did she get that? Philosophy? No. Did she get that from some New Age concept? No, she got it from the Word of God. In a relationship with the God who loves her. That's where she got it. Just like you. And just like me. Law. Gospel. Truth. Christ. That's where everything comes from. There was a false teaching going on in the early church that Paul had to deal with. It's actually written about in verse 18. Those who have wandered away from the truth, they say that the resurrection has already taken place. And they destroy the faith of some. That's an interesting description. There were people that taught that the resurrection was kind of a figurative spiritual thing, and that's really nice that we share in that resurrection. But they didn't believe or teach in a bodily resurrection after you die. I got a problem with that. Do you know why? Because I'm going to die, and so are you. I'm going to die, and so are you. And we hope to God that there is resurrection as Jesus taught when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Your only hope of seeing a child you lost years ago is the resurrection of Christ from the dead. You better believe there's a resurrection. Your only hope of seeing a parent you lost, a brother or sister, a friend, a sibling, the only hope you're going to have of seeing them again is what Jesus said about resurrection. I go to prepare a place for you, Jesus said in John 14, that where I am, that's where you're going to be. You don't have that without resurrection. You don't experience that without resurrection. So that's an important negative thing to talk about in verse 18. I want to talk about the verse that says, the Lord knows those who are his. Verse 19, the Lord knows those who are his. Don't raise your hand, but all of us grew up in backgrounds, had somebody in our family, had somebody in our extended family who was more than anxious to send people to hell. You say, what do you mean by that? Did you ever have anybody you knew in your past that said, well, I know he's going to burn in hell. Boy, she's in for a surprise when she dies and wakes up and the flames are all around. I mean, we've all known people that say that, and isn't it interesting? Paul says, the Lord knows. The Lord knows, not you, not me. The Lord knows those who are his. It's up to him. I just need to be reminded of that. He's quoting from the Old Testament book of Numbers. Paul says, the Lord knows. The Lord knows, not you, not me. The Lord knows those who are his. It's up to him. I just need to be reminded of that. He's quoting from the Old Testament book of Numbers. The Lord knows those who are his. And then, he says, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Question, do you confess the name of the Lord? Do you know what that means? You identify with him. You have said with your mouth, I do believe in him. And that's no small thing, by the way. Hopefully, you confess your wife, if you're married. To confess your wife or your husband means you acknowledge them. Hopefully, if you're married, you don't say, well, I'm not going to talk about my husband at all to anybody. I don't want anybody to know about him. I don't want anybody to know about my wife. You'd say, there's something wrong there. We confess those we say we love. And to confess the name means I believe in Jesus. And he said, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. You know, wickedness is an interesting word because it means different things to different people, but it means something to everybody. Meaning what? Every man in this room knows what's wicked that's going on in his life right now. And I don't have to tell you. I don't have to preach you a sermon. I don't have to read the Riot Act. And you know what it is. Every woman in this room knows what it is in her spirit, in the depth of her being, what would be described in before the Lord as wickedness. And Paul said, everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. What do you need to turn away from in your life this week? What do you need to turn away from this week? Joe Michael was an attorney in Louisiana for years. He talks about being in China, in Beijing, China, at a railway station, one of the many railway stations of Beijing. And he said in English, they had a sign that was sort of misleading in English, but he knew what they meant. Here's what the sign says. Your baggage will be forwarded in all directions. Now, that's not too comforting if you're at an airport and you saw a sign, your baggage is going to go in all directions. You have no idea. That's not what it meant. What it meant was, wherever you go, that's where your baggage is going to go. You're going to this city in China, your bags will follow. Your baggage will be forwarded in all directions. Joe Michael, the attorney, said, isn't that true with life? Your baggage follows you. You change jobs, your baggage from your past follows you. You change spouses, your baggage follows you. You change communities, your baggage follows us. You change everything and stuff follows you. And it's only through the power of Christ that we can deal with the baggage. I hope you know that. The remedy with dealing with baggage issues in your life only, ultimately, is with Jesus Christ. Jesus was asked one time by the Pharisees, what's the work of God? What is it we're to do? And I think it might have been even a trick question, because whatever Jesus said, well, why would you pick that? What should we do the work of God? And you know what Jesus said that left them speechless? Jesus said, believe in the one that he sent, me. You want to know the work of God? Believe in the one he sent, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what we call people to. We call people in 2015 to believe in the Lord and believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. We call people to actually believe in this book. In a world where Ravi Zacharias is right, there's no certainty, there's no truth, there's no meaning. There is. It's in Christ and it's in God's word. Don't ever forget that. Well, we close this message on Cross Hope with a powerful story tomorrow. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening to Cross Hope. I shared a story by Susan Kitteridge from Vermont. She's actually a minister in a friend's church. I guess that would be called the Quaker Church. She has a horrible story to tell about her grandmother. When her grandmother was 78 years old, she was living alone in New Jersey in an apartment, and a man broke into her apartment in the middle of the night, broke out a window and climbed in and attacked her in the most violent way possible, beat her. And she describes what her grandmother did to cope. She said, after that incident, she said, I can't explain this to you. My grandmother, who was a seamstress, stopped sewing things to create things. She didn't sew anymore. All she did was mend. And Susan said, that's interesting to me, that all she would do was she would mend things. She was fixing things. And she wonders, she speculates in her mind, was my grandmother trying to mend her broken life? It wasn't a matter of creating something new by making a new dress or a new hat or something, a blouse or a sweater. She just put together things that were already made but broken and mended and needed to be fixed. Here's what Susan says. Mending doesn't say this never happened. It says instead, I believe the cross of Christ. Something or someone was surely broken here, but with God's grace, it will rise to new life. So too, my old pajamas, the fence around the garden, the friendship torn by misunderstanding, a country being ripped apart every day, the United States of America, and a global divide of enormous proportions, they all need mending. And Susan said, I'm starting with my pajamas. What do you need to start with? The gospel is about mending a broken heart. The gospel is about mending a broken life. The gospel is about mending a broken spirit. The gospel is about mending a life that needs to be whole again through Christ. In the 1930s in Germany, there was a minister that had particularly a youth ministry when he started, but people don't realize this, is Dietrich Bonhoeffer, famous German minister. He worked with young people. I would call him a youth minister of his day in his younger ministry days. And he said there was a movement in Germany in the 30s that kept saying the church needs to recapture the young people. We got to recapture the youth. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was working with young people as a youth minister in his day, said, no, what we need to do is teach the Word of God. Wow, that's it. And what a minister said in 1930 about recapturing the young people of that day applies to 2015, as Alistair Begg said, if the church ever needed teaching of the Bible, it's now. Not 5 years from now. It's not 10 years from now. It's now. And so Paul tells Timothy, handle correctly the Word of God. Treat it with respect. Believe it. Lift it up. Affirm it. And I will honor that. I want to go back to that quote of G.K. Chesterton, when people stop believing in God and people stop believing in God's Word, it's not a case of they believe nothing, it's a case they believe anything. We live in a nation of people who say, it doesn't matter what you believe about anything. Doesn't matter what you believe about any issue because you just believe what you want, and God comes along and says, no, you believe in my Son. The one who says, I will remember your sins no more. Some guy came to church today just to hear that. I will remember your sins no more. God chooses not to remember sins that are confessed to him.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.